Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into another edition of Slow Your Roll. Why did everything go mute on my mic? I have no idea. I hope everything is okay, though. As long as it says it's... there we go. There we go. Chris Harvey for the win. but anyway, so we got plenty to get to today. The Sox. Bad news out of Boston. Chris Sale back on the shelf. Sox are struggling a bit. I mean, listen. They've never played well against the Rays. So, I mean, how much is this struggling? How much is this just like, hey, Tampa just beats our ass all the time? I don't know.
But the last time we played well against Tampa Bay, they were called the Devil Rays.
I was thinking that. We'll talk about the NL West now. We talked about the AL East last time. Let's talk about another interesting division in baseball with a high-rising team and one that spent a ton of money and is not playing too well. We'll talk NBA Finals, NHL Finals. I think we got a series in the NBA.
Oh, I thought you were going to say NHL. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Well, so no.
I didn't have a good start.
No. I don't think the NHL one
the
is.
The NBA one, yeah.
No, the NBA one, I think. Yes. Well, a lot of people were worried it wasn't going to be much one. We'll talk Jimmy G failing his physical. I'm going to hand out some bets as we approach the beginning of the June month of baseball. A few lines you're still getting value on, probably the last that you're going to get value on many MLB lines in general, and plenty more on the show as well. But with that, I'll turn it over to Jesse Caulfield to kick us off, as he's going to have to renew his opening rant from another one of our lost episodes that we had technical difficulties.
Yeah, I mean, technically the video, I don't know if it got put on the socials.
Yeah.
Did it?
No, it did not yet.
All right,
because
so
the show didn't. So
well, then like, I'm definitely going to do it again.
All right, go for it.
And let's, like, you know, we can record it again. Maybe it'll be better. Maybe. Generally, when you try to rehash something, it just kind of comes out a jumbled mess. But, like, you know, something like this, there's no notes, so it'll be okay. But, like, 2 weeks ago, when it was my turn, it was, you know, lost again. So I'm going to rehash this. So the NHL... Now, the finals have started. This isn't necessarily about the finals. We're going to talk about that later. But the finals started. We have the Vegas in the desert Golden Knights, and we have the swampy South Florida Panthers, which screams hockey, ice, cold. Yes. And this makes the typical average NHL fan upset. What is your stereotypical NHL fan? Probably a cold climate. Probably a lot of hair, and hates the South, particularly the Southern teams. And so when they see teams from a warm climate and a expansion team in the Vegas Golden Knights, that upsets them. It should be their team. Listen, I personally am upset at my team for not getting there, but I'm not going to be upset at the situation. This is about the league. This is about growing the game. And some people have come out and said, like, yeah, this is bad. Especially like when the Final Four was like, you know, the Stars and Carolina Hurricanes. Not your typical big market teams for hockey. People come out and said, like, no one's going to watch. And now the salary cap will go down. It won't go up as they were hoping. I kind of don't care about that. Personally, as a Bruins fan with the current cap situation, I guess I would like that. But it is what it is. I want the game to grow. I will sacrifice this for the game to grow. Because this is how you reach the next generation different area of fans. I said it in the rant that was disappeared. Like, if you look at teams that do bad, fans don't really show up quite as much. They don't buy the merch. It's just, you know, that's basic economics. Yeah. If you give people an incentive to watch, buy, they will do so. Consumerism, as they call it. And in sports, like, if your team is just good in America, people just show up. People want to be a part of it. It's that FOMO, whatever you call it. Like, if something's happening with the local team, people just jump on the bandwagon. And people, oh, that's bad. Bandwagon bad. And I guess they're not real fans. They don't know much. But that's part of the process of becoming a fan. You got to be ignorant. We were all ignorant at one point. We didn't know the rules. We didn't know the names. We didn't know how it works. But now here we all are being dirtbags, stuck-up pricks, gatekeepers. And we're not tolerant to what we, the ignorant fan, what we used to be. And that's not necessary. And as hockey fans, it is rampant and worse than anywhere else I've seen.
I mean, you called them the ultimate gatekeepers.
They are the ultimate gatekeepers. Like, I don't see it at all in the NFL.
No.
But that's because there's no one left to gatekeep on. Everyone's in. Everyone's in already. I don't see it really much in baseball. I see it a little bit with calling people like, especially Rays fans, they're all bandwagon fans. That's the one situation where if they're good, people still don't really show up. But like, that's because the stadium's in the wrong spot. That's about a different thing though. We've had that discussion multiple times. But hockey fans are like fiercely protective of the league, it seems. And for dumb reasons, like, it's so, there's a hipster in all of us, I've said, where we all like, well, I liked it first. Like, now you people like, where were you when, like, we needed you type of stuff. But, like, now they're here, Florida, South Florida fans. I mean, here's the thing. Tampa hockey fans, not the baseball fans, they seem to show up. Tampa Bay's been good for a while. They show up. They're still there. I know. I guess we'll see when Tampa eventually goes back to the doghouse. Will they stay? But in theory, Tampa has been making money for the league the past couple of years, and now we have two recent expansion teams. Now, I don't think the NHL should expand anymore. I don't want money for that. But just to, like, imagine what the NHL could do if they had even NBA money. We could maybe go to China. We can get their money, too. I don't want that. But, like, this gatekeeping of NHL fans, of like, we don't really want to expand our game. We don't want any new fans. And yet they also bitch and complain that, like, well, we don't have money. We're not as popular as the other leagues. That's because you gatekeep. And I get it. If you're from the South in a warm climate,
but if you're going to alienate half the country, don't be surprised when you're not that popular.
Sure. And I get it. It is harder for people in a warmer climate to get into something like hockey. There's not as much ice to game on. Yeah. You know, part of the culture of hockey is in the wintertime, you literally just play on your local pond, lake, what have you. It doesn't really work in the South. Even when they try to do professional outdoor games in the South, sometimes the ice is just like, that's not happening. That's not how ice works, bro. So, like, I'm just kind of sick of it from fans. And personally, as just a sports fan, I like to see other teams involved, period. Just any sport. I like to see when new teams that haven't got the chance, haven't gotten the bag before, I like it when they're involved. I really do. Not the expansion team that was just born a couple years ago. That's kind of annoying. That also, I'll gatekeep that too. But whatever, Vegas is here. And Vegas is making money, and you should like that, because that gave us Seattle. And Seattle's making money, and you should like that, because that'll give us a higher cap. And maybe actually, and here's the thing.
More popularity.
Sure. But here's the thing, Canadian fans, particularly, like, you know, the Leafs, the Canadians, Calgary, Vancouver, the other one, Edmonton. Other than Montreal, sometimes Vancouver and Toronto, they don't make money. So if you want to keep your Edmonton Oilers, if you want to keep your Calgary Flames, you need the South to catch on. You really do. Because the next team actually in danger of moving, other than the Coyotes, but that's a different situation, is the Calgary Flames. Like, no one really, people show up, they're passionate, but like, it's a desert out there. There's so many few people actually out there. There's not a lot of fans to actually go. Ottawa Senators is the same way. If they can't find a new owner, which might be Snoop Dogg, they're probably going to move soon. Why? There's just not enough money to force a team to stay in Ottawa, because people would rather watch Toronto. Why would they watch Ottawa? Toronto's right there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they need money to keep those teams. So like, you should stop gatekeeping the North. It's stupid.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it is funny that it's just like, you can on one hand bitch that, oh, we're not as popular as all these other ones, and yeah, we don't get the attention on ESPN and all this. And it's like, well, and in the same breath be like, oh, we want to exclude half the country.
You know what? I'm happy you mentioned that ESPN thing, because like, yo, they had the big ESPN deal. That'll help with viewership and all that stuff. It's just get more people seeing it and get it into the mainstream more. Mm-hmm. NHL fans immediately, I mean, they're immediately like, good, yeah, that'll grow the brand, blah, blah, blah. And I don't really like the coverage necessarily either. ESPN half-asses their hockey coverage. But then the second it was actually on TV, it's like, this sucks, I miss NBC. NBC was terrible, by the way. But they're immediately like, this is terrible, I don't want ESPN near hockey, get them away from hockey. They're never satisfied, they're never happy.
They're grumpy.
They were happy for 2 seconds when ESPN made the deal. And then they saw it and they were like, this is garbage. Get it off TV. Let's just not have it on TV at all. That's what they felt like.
That's insane.
And here's the thing. I don't think the ESPN coverage is the best either. They really do half-ass it. They don't care that much that they have hockey. But the TNT coverage is fantastic. they really care. Uh-huh. I mean, they went hard in the paint with the their basketball coverage, you know, with Charles Barkley and Shaq. So you figured that, you know, they get the good guys, and they did. I like the TNT coverage. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, you sometimes you just got to suffer the ESPN coverage. I mean, that's – as sports fan, we all have to suffer through ESPN sometimes. It's just how it is.
Yeah. No,
it's the worldwide leader in sports, and we have to put up with that.
I mean, they're kind of the worldwide leader in sports still.
They call themselves that still.
Yes. They're just the – they're the OG.
I mean, who really could compete with them at the moment?
Fox?
No.
Yes.
No.
Fox, 100%.
Who watches Fox Sports?
A lot of people.
I watch – when the only time I watch any Fox Sports thing is when there is baseball on the channel Fox.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you want to talk about talk shows, I'm pretty sure Cowherd beats anything that ESPN does.
Is he Fox? I thought he was CBS.
Cowherd? No, he's Fox.
Is he Fox?
Undisputed was doing pretty good.
It was.
Until Skip. I mean, we'll talk about that. Like when Skip blew it up with Shannon.
I mean, that could actually, that could help ratings. Stuff like that, drama, makes people watch.
Sometimes.
Just to see what'll happen.
But if Shannon goes to ESPN.
No, when Shannon leaves, but for the time being, when Shannon's still there, I could see people being like, I just want to see what happens.
No, I get that.
But when Shannon leaves, maybe they'll watch to see like who the new guy is and how it works. But then they'll be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like how when Skip first left, everyone started watching First Take, mm-hmm. like more than they already were.
Yes.
Because they wanted to see Max Kellerman and his ridiculous takes.
Yes.
But then like that the hype dies.
Yeah. But like, can you even name any show on ESPN that anyone watches besides First Take, which I don't really even think does that great anymore? At least not as well.
There's a show called The Paint.
Yeah, like I don't know any. Oh, I guess PTI.
Oh, dude, I used to watch the hell out of that, actually.
Listen, pardon the interruption.
Is Around the Horn still on? That used to be great.
It is, but isn't it different people now?
Yeah, probably. It's no Jay Adonde or
Jackie. Wait, is that the one where they hand out points and there's a winner at the end?
Yeah, and they can mute them if they're just like saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around the Horn.
Yeah.
I used to love that.
I still like it when it's on sometimes, but yeah, it's not the same people.
There's a show on ESPN2 about hockey called, I think it's called.
Well, nobody watches that. We already went over this.
Well, here's the thing. I watched a couple episodes. The problem is, like, you know, it's on TV, and, like, I'm not going to commit to watching anything on TV. Like,
well, yeah.
This isn't 2003.
There's that, too.
But, like, you know, it's Bucci Main, John Buccigross. I like him.
Yeah.
They would eat chicken palm at the end of every episode for some. Well, because he loves chicken palm.
Okay.
Every episode, man.
That's funny.
It is funny.
That is pretty funny.
He had torts before he got another job. John Tortorella. He had John Tortorella on. Before he got another coaching job.
Oh, okay.
He looked sad every episode.
But anything. Anyway, I think we can move on. Hockey fans are funny. All right, so rapid fire news real quick. The Sox are 2-5 since we last did the show, mentioning the fact that it largely came at the hand of the Rays, who have just been our daddy, it seems like, for the last like almost 10 years.
I feel like more than that.
It's been a while. And Chris Sale went on the DL. We'll talk about that more. So also in the news, there are reports Kyrie is trying to recruit LeBron James to come play for the Dallas Mavericks and make a big three of Kyrie, Irving, LeBron James, and Luka Doncic.
A team Kyrie's technically not even on right now.
So I mean, that's the NBA for you. I do think it's a real possibility, though.
Here's the thing. I expect them to play together next year. Dallas, I don't know. I'm not going to say the team, but I expect them to.
Oh, I expect it to be Dallas. Because think about it like this, right? First off, LeBron he's such a Baylor. You can take that negatively or positively. I would also say he has the smarts to know exactly when's the right time to bail on teams. He bailed on the Heat as soon as they got old. He bailed on Cleveland once because he didn't have another star. He bailed on Cleveland a second time because mostly roster and Kyrie was crazy and undependable.
And Ohio.
Now, also, LeBron creates some of that problem himself, but he is very good at realizing when he has messed up or the team has messed up.
I messed this team up. I need to go.
Exiting stage right. I think he's been waiting for AD to take over as the number one on this team, and that just never happened, and AD is only getting older and older with that brittle-ass body. So I think it makes perfect. It was great for his legacy, I think, that he got this Lakers team as far as he did. So, I mean, I could totally see this, him bailing. And Dallas ain't that far away from L.A. He's got his own jet. He can go back and forth, still run his businesses like he's in L.A.
Well, how many businesses in the past couple of years have moved from California to Texas anyway?
I know, right?
So, and like, I, you know, and I just...
He's going to be just as good as exiting in his business life as he is in his sports life.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. And I do love it, though. Just a funny idea of a man who's a free agent is trying to recruit another man who's not a free agent to a team he's technically not even on right now.
Ah, it's the NBA for you. Also, Ja Morant, there are reports that there's a very good possibility he could be suspended for the entirety of the first half of next NBA season, good. Which is just hilarious.
I mean, not that that matters. He'll come back in the second half and they'll win and make the playoffs.
I guess.
I mean, that's what the NHL or NHL and NBA stars do. They miss half the games and play in the playoffs.
Texas Rangers continuing their hot streak. They are 8-10. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, improving their run differential all the way up to 153. A lot of people have been waiting for them to cool off, and they just will not. We'll have more on them later. And finally, actually, I do want to throw this in because I made this rant, maybe about a year ago. Nick Saban was once again at the podium bitching about money in recruiting and the NIL, talking about, well, you know, it's not fair because some schools have some more money and I'd rather things be fair. And as I've told you so many times, Nick Saban doesn't care about fair.
His version of fair.
He cares about his version of fair. Now, he is right.
I wonder how he votes.
Now, he is right in the fact that it is not fair that some have more money than others. But hey, Nick, you also, your team had advantage for the last over a decade where you were. And this happened just as he was out recruited by the Texas Longhorns for a high level recruit. Shocker why that came out of his mouth at the podium now.
He must not like baseball.
I don't know what's up with Nick. I mean, as I've told you, it is every time he goes to the mic and starts talking about NIL, it is a control freak who is slowly losing control and is mad about it.
We need a salary cap in college football.
We need a salary cap. Not a salary cap for how much we pay the coaches or how much we can spend on staff and facilities, but, you know, NIL money, how much we pay the recruits. We need a cap on that.
Here's what you do.
Because my school doesn't have as much money as Texas. And
all right, here's all you do, Alabama. Just do what any college does. Just raise tuition.
And yeah, but the problem
boom, is... more money.
I think the problem is technically it like can't come from the college itself. It has to come from like boosters and all that. But Texas has got that oil money, baby. I mean, Texas can just... I mean, listen, we've talked about this many a times.
What does Alabama have?
Not much.
Gators. I don't know.
Exactly.
They don't have a natural resource.
Yeah, they really don't have nearly as much money as some of those other schools. So, anyway, though, with that...
Peaches.
We will move on to our next topic, and that is the Boston Red Sox. They are struggling a little bit. Definitely terrible news over the week with Chris Sale going down. Sox are 4-6 in the last 10, losing 3 straight. Now, obviously, a lot of that to the Rays. But they also got swept by the Angels on the West Coast trip. So, they did take 2 or 3 from the Diamondbacks. But... did they lose 2 or 3 to the Reds?
Yes.
I see, like, that's not great.
No.
No. So what do you think about the Sox, right? They were really hot.
I think this 500 record.
That's about pretty, what that's what they are?
Yeah. No, I mean, 30-30. Like, that's... this is just the range I think you're going to float around. Now, maybe you'll actually... with Chris Sale going down, maybe it'll get even worse, though. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised he got injured?
No. No, I'm not surprised he got injured.
Once he started throwing 99 again, I literally said, oh, damn. The second he starts throwing 99, he hurts himself.
Yeah.
Like, people like, Red Sox fans got excited. Oh, he's not, 95, he hit 95, 96, 97, Chris Sale's back. Oh, my God, he's hitting 98. Then he hits 99, like, oh, damn. He's injured again. It's not about velocity. Just put it in the right spot. A 92-mile-an-hour fastball on the corner that just gets glass is a way better pitch than 101 down the middle. And it's especially when you throw your arm off to do it. Mm. Pedro Martinez, I think it was, I don't know, I just saw, like, the transcript after. It was probably, like, on MLB Network or something. He came out and said, like, Chris, you don't have to give it your all in every pitch. It's about situational. Mm-hmm. Notice how, like, Justin Verlander can hit 99. Mm-hmm. Despite, like, 9 Tommy John surgeries and being 55 years old, he can still hit 99. Mm-hmm. But he'll do it in, like, the 6th inning. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll save it. And I know, like, you know, part of it's, like, in the first couple innings, you're still warming up. You're not going to hit your peak velocity. Mm-hmm. But he saves it for the later innings. He keeps his energy up. And then, like, when it's 2 strikes against, like, the number 3 hitter with men on, then he pumps 99 in there.
Yes.
You're going in all game with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, and then it's 99. You're not ready for that.
No.
But when you're just trying to throw 99 from the get-go, A, don't be surprised when your arm just falls off, and B, like, that's not the chess in power pitching. Mm-hmm. It's not about just being 99 every pitch.
Yeah.
You're not a reliever that throws one inning.
Yes.
And it's like, come on, Chris.
Yeah. Especially as you get older, too. I mean, Curt Schilling talked about this. Kurt was talking about, you know, how is pitching, how do you adjust to pitching as you got older? And he goes, I still have 97, 98 in my back pocket when I need it. But from when I was young and I could do that 30 times, now I know I probably have about 8 to 10. And so I just pick my spots for when I use it. That's exactly how it needs to be as you get older, and Sale's in his 30s.
And doesn't that make the 99-mile-an-hour fastball even better?
Yes.
When it just randomly shows up, when it just appears out of the blue?
Yes. Like, you think you have him timed up because you've seen him once, maybe twice already, and you've got the timing down, and then all of a sudden just, whoop, 3 extra, 4 extra miles an hour, and you're behind.
Yeah. And it's like, he just, I don't know. He gets too much. Listen, I love the intensity of a guy like Chris Sale, but
yeah, I know it's his worst enemy.
It is, yeah. It does, you know, that last pitch of the inning to get the strikeout. You don't need to do it the whole game. And he just, I don't know. Hopefully, he'll get it now. Assuming how bad this is, but like with the rest of the team, I'm kind of like I said, this is definitely probably a 500 team, and you're in a bad situation though because like. The rest of the league is kind of bad. And what do you do? Because, like, you're in last place in a great division, and that can give you the idea of, like, well, we're pretty good. We can probably be a playoff team in any other division. Mm-hmm. Let's buy.
Yes.
And I don't know if you should really do that.
I don't think they're going to.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think...
If it stays at this literal 500, no, I don't think they will.
I mean, it depends on how bad the news is about Sale.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it sounds like he's going to be out for a decent period of time, but it's still just classified as a strain. It's not like we've heard about significant damage or surgery needed. But at the same time, it does sound like he's going to be on the shelf for a good amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, when they don't give a timetable, that can mean a lot of things, but it means it's not over the horizon. It's going to be time before they even 100% assess what the injury
means. Well, what I've heard is that the MRI was unclear. Probably that means because there's just a lot of swelling and inflammation by the time they got him in that machine.
Okay.
So you would need to probably get a second one at some point when things clear.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. Like, it's probably going to be a little... I mean, maybe, I don't know, a long time, but like, it's not just over the hill, because just over the hill, we need to test him again and see, have a more realistic idea of what specifically is the injury. Mm-hmm. And what do we do about it?
Now, the next thing I'm going to bring up, and, you know, earlier in the year when they were playing a little bit better, I saw a lot of Red Sox fans getting on their high horse a little bit and criticizing others who thought that they knew better than Chaim Bloom, or however I'm supposed to say his stupid name.
That was correct.
But let's talk. I think we can criticize Chaim Bloom again real quick. Let me tell you why, Mr. GM Bloom. This is your call on when to bail on players and what to do and when to bring others in. Let's talk about the big three that he bailed on. Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Wacha, and JD Martinez. All are playing very well. All are not getting paid that much money. Instead, he brought in Justin Turner, who's getting paid more than JD Martinez. And he brought in Corey Kluber, who's getting paid more than Michael Wacha. And both have been an absolute disaster. Now, individually for all three, I can understand and make the arguments for why Bloom bailed. But at the end of the day, you're 0 for 3. You're 0 for 3. You missed on all three. and yeah. you're the decision maker. So I think we can get back on Bloom for this one. You're 0 for 3. 0 for 3. And they're all bad. And you know what? He's 0 for 5. Because then he brought in two people to replace him, and they're both terrible. And he's getting paid. He's paying them more money than the ones that he moved off.
I mean, Turner's not terrible. So I didn't understand it.
Who?
Turner's not terrible.
He is very average.
Yes.
He is average.
But terrible is a strong word.
Okay. Kluber has been terrible.
And actually, I would have...
By the way, oh my gosh, Kluber. Yeah. You know Kluber has to go back into the rotation now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a terrifying thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even want to take him out. They're like, we'd rather take out Pivetta. And it's like, I'd rather deal with Pivetta. Well, I'd just rather deal with him.
I mean, I think I liked that they took Pivetta out of the rotation because maybe you...
Because
like,
he might actually figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe you can give him this time to figure out and you insert him back in. Like, I hope that Pivetta goes back into the rotation. Have they said yet who's replacing Sale?
I mean, I guess
now that I'm thinking about it, Kluber may not... Maybe Kluber's not back in the rotation. Maybe they move Pivetta in, which I would rather Pivetta than Kluber.
What is it now? It's Bellow... Hauk.
Whitlock.
Oh, yeah. Cutter Crawford made a start the other day.
Cutter Crawford and Sale. But now Sale's gone.
So then hopefully...
Oh, Paxton, dude.
Oh, yeah.
The best starting pitcher on this roster now.
I think he pitches today.
Yeah, he does pitch today. So it's been Paxton, Sale, Bellow, Whitlock, and Hauk. Which, by the way, not terrible. Now, not great, because the last two I'd rather be in the bullpen, but... At the end of the day, if they're fourth and fifth, they're not awful. And Bellow has shown potential. I don't know where he slots in, but he's pitched well at a lot of times.
Yeah.
But now you're looking at Paxton. Do you think they go... I mean, you said Cutter Crawford made a start. Do you want Cutter Crawford over Pivetta? I'd rather just give Pivetta another chance.
I'd rather Pivetta.
I mean, how has he pitched out of the pen since, though? I don't know.
Well, the fact that we haven't heard much of anything
is
actually a decent sign.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he's only gotten a handful of opportunities, I think. Hold on.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me see if I can have, like,
But what are your thoughts on my criticisms here of Bloom?
Oh, I mean, we've mentioned a couple times of, like, why did you pick $10 million Kluber over $6.5 million Waka?
Yeah.
I've mentioned, like...
Again, and that's the thing, right? I can make the arguments for why you thought to bail on all three players. It's just that... If you were trying to play like a money ball thing, well, you paid more money for two dudes who are kind of at the same part of their career. Like, we all think Turner's on the downswing. We all
he's 39.
Think, what?
How old is JD Martinez?
You just wanted to replace it just for the sake of replacing?
I was okay with getting rid of Martinez. Because didn't if he took his option... I'm pretty sure it would have been more than what Justin is making.
Yeah, but the team had the option. The team didn't have
was
to
it
pick
team
it up.
Option?
But you could have.
I thought it was a mutual option.
Maybe
which
it was
I
mutual.
Guess then you have both have to. So the team can just
exactly, and the team can say no, but then they can negotiate on something.
I would probably.
He's
be
getting
like,
paid like $7.5 by the Dodgers, while we're paying Turner $10.
I mean, I would if I was JD Martinez in that situation that we just discussed. I would probably still be like, "I'm going to go."
I guess
you don't want me. I'm going to go, but I wanted Eovaldi and Waka.
Yeah,
I wanted them to, and man, I think our arms need it.
Yeah,
because shocker, Chris Sale didn't make it the whole year. Shocker, Kluber's washed up. Shocker, Pivetta's not very trustworthy. Bellow's
whoever would have thought
Bellow's here and there on whether or not he's actually specifically ready or not. And then you know, do I trust Paxton to stay healthy?
No,
I don't. But, like, you know, I guess who needs 29 straight scoreless innings from a... Here's the thing. It's more... I've mentioned in my little Red Sox... it was the Fenway Sports Group one.
Yeah.
I mentioned Eovaldi. It's like, he's doing great. I mentioned even Martin Perez, who's doing great for
Texas,
who former Red Sox, has been to an All-Star game since. And I get it. Some players can't handle the Red Sox uniform. Some players can't handle Boston. Some players just play better in other places for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's warmer down there. There's a dome. I don't know. There's no big wall that is a cheap home run. That can help. So, you know, maybe some of these wouldn't work. But we could have kicked the tires on Martin Perez. We can kick the tires on Michael Waka. Maybe Eovaldi would have been too expensive. Maybe he's too injury prone himself. Maybe he's a little
Texas
too.
Texas didn't even pay him that much.
Maybe he's a little too inconsistent. But Michael Wacha was very consistent last year.
I know.
I don't get it.
And you brought in Corey Kluber for more money.
Who's like, I don't, he was washed up.
I know he was. And I know.
We knew he was washed up.
I mean, I knew he pitched. If you look at his numbers with the Rays, they weren't terrible. But like, if you watched him pitch, you were like, come on.
But he's.
He's not. Like, he's nearing the end. And now we're going to be another season later. And also, I mean, let's acknowledge pitching in the Rays. Like, it's just voodoo. It's voodoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can sit there and watch him and be like, he's not that good, but he's pitching for the Rays. So he'll be okay.
There's probably factors there. How much pressure do you think you have pitching for the Rays?
Not much.
Less than you have pitching for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
How much pressure do you have pitching in front of a packed, bless you, Fenway Park crowd as opposed to a half-empty Tropicana Field? Less.
You're being kind with half.
I'm talking this year. And, like, it's clear that they just can scout and coach pitching. Mm-hmm. They just can do that. Mm-hmm. They're very good at it. And Bloom wasn't one of those fellas.
Well, my thing is, I mean, I said this in the original rant last time, too, is you can't just take one executive and then think that you're going to do what the Rays do. You don't have their scouting department. You don't have, you know, their minor league coaches.
No, Henry thinks that way.
I know Henry thinks that way, but he's stupid for that.
Because he seemed to have that same mindset of what, what's his name? Billy Bean.
Oh, yeah.
You need to come in and do it to my baseball team. It works so great for Oakland. Occasionally.
Occasionally.
Do it to me.
Which, by the way, oh, my gosh. Oakland is so bad.
That's because they don't have Billy Bean.
Yeah, that's the worst baseball team I've ever seen. That's not even close.
It's on pace to be.
Do you see the stats? Do you know they're, like, almost a full... No, I think they are more than a full run worse team ERA than the 29th team, like the second worst team. Damn. Their ERA is almost 7 as a team.
They have scored more runs than the Padres.
I did see that. That's insane. But also, like, listen, when you're down 16 to nothing by the fourth inning,
I guess
the pitching, the other team's pitching does let up too, you know?
Yeah.
Because the last thing you can do is walk anyone. So, like, if you're down, you'll throw a fastball down the middle. Just don't walk anyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But yeah, that is, I mean, that's definitely on pace to be the worst team ever assembled.
That's so bad. It's unfathomable. how bad do you think this is going to get? Do you think they can manage to still be around 500? I mean, listen, there's still a lot to like about this team.
Although
mainly the offense.
even that's just skidding a little bit. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think it's all that great because just looking at this team here, Tristan Casas has been disappointing.
Yes.
In theory, he should be better. But, like, Devers is your best player, and other than that, like...
He's not having a great season either.
But, like, who else is there to... I mean, who else is there to back him up?
Verdugo? Yoshida?
Verdugo bats before him, doesn't he?
Well, I know, but I'm talking about just the offense in general.
All right, so we got three men in the lineup. We got a 1-2-3.
I mean
Duran is starting to come back down to earth.
He is, but I still think he'll pick it back up again, too.
Justin Turner's... he's 38, sorry.
Justin Turner's average. He's literally the epitome of average.
Kike's having a bad year.
Yeah. I like the kids, though. I like the way Valdez swings the bat, particularly.
That's been surprising.
Yeah. And Pablo Reyes, since he's started to play more, has swung the bat pretty well, also. Connor Wong has gotten better. I feel like there's depth to the lineup, at least.
You know, all right, I'll agree with that, but there's no real punch to it.
If Devers is going to continue to have an off year, then yes, I see your point.
Yeah, this.
Though, man, Yoshida is damn good.
He is. I really enjoy watching him play. Mm-hmm. He reminds me of some of that Ichiro factor. He's just it's exciting when he puts the bat on the ball. Mm-hmm. Again, a good 1-2-3, but like, why would you pitch to Devers? There's no one behind him to protect him.
Yeah.
And even like, oh, you could put Verdugo behind him. He's batting well. Like, Verdugo's not a power hitter, though.
No.
It's like you protect him. You're supposed to protect him. Like, you had to pitch. You had to pitch to David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Because then I'm not going to deal with Manny.
Yeah.
It's actually a better contact hitter.
I mean, but, even last year, you had to pitch to Devers. Well, not even last year. Maybe 2 years ago. But you had to pitch to Devers because you had to deal with JD and vice versa.
JD still put the bat on the ball last year.
No, I know. He's just the power numbers were not great.
Yeah. So, like, it's after you get past that start of the lineup and, like, yeah, you're right. There is depth here. I like what Wong is doing now. I do like Durant. I think he can be a major league player. We've liked Ref Snyder. But why do you really have to pitch to any of them? You don't. There's no protecting anyone in this lineup, really.
And they're just so left-handed. Like, so left-handed. Like, you face a even average left-handed starter, like, it's tough. Because they're all lefties. Verdugo, Devers, Yoshida.
I feel, wasn't it just 2 years ago we were like, man, we need a lefty for this lineup.
I know. We were too right-handed.
And we
Bloom.
Oh, we could have.
I'm looking at you, Bloom.
Could have kept one of those lefties.
Now,
Schwarber.
Now, in theory, I do realize that Trevor Story, you know, would have been a right-handed bat to break up some of this left-handed stuff, but.
But he died.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's not what
actually, didn't he? He might actually be back, apparently, this year, I've heard.
Really?
I've heard, like, he's actually, like he's doing very, like, he's thrown the ball.
Oh, okay.
But, like, you know, he's just started to throw the ball.
Okay, so he'll be back in, like, September when we're out of it.
yeah. Kinda.
I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer because this team, I still think there's things to look forward to with this team.
Well, that's the thing.
I think if Bloom wants to stop being an idiot and John Henry wants to pump some money into it in the offseason, we have a lot of things to build on. But
if here's the thing, like, this team has competed to this point in a great division, and although we've stumbled recently, and you can't be losing to teams like the Reds right now, they've played other teams well.
Yes.
It's just you're in the greatest division ever assembled, apparently.
I know. That doesn't help. All right. With that, moving on to another division, let's talk about the NL West real quick before we do our break. You have, you know, the proverbial Kings for a long time now, the Dodgers. You have the underachieving Padres. You have a Giants team that Vegas thought was going to finish in third place and have a chance. I don't know why. We very early on bailed on it. Yeah, I know, right? I guess Vegas got it right. Giants are going to be in third. But and then you have the young and ascending Arizona Diamondbacks. What do you make of this division? I think this is going to be Dodgers Diamondbacks the whole way.
It's definitely going to be Dodgers.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
At what point do we sit here looking at the clock waiting for San Diego and time runs out?
I mean, if they never do, then yeah, this will definitely be a two-team race. But just how
I don't see it. I don't think they're going to. We talked about this, like, too many big splashes drain the pool of all the water. Like, yes, I love Machado and Soto and Tatis, but like 6-9, sometimes even 5-9, they're not good hitters at all.
And the pitching has been just exceptionally bad.
Yes. Now, Musgrove has had back-to-back very good outings, at least. So there's reason to think that Musgrove could write the ship.
You had a good one the other day,
he
too.
Did. But Darvish is old. And that cliff's got to come eventually. So
just that's a six. Or is it a six?
Also, Darvish, has Darvish been there 2 years? He's had one bad year and one good year.
He's been there longer than that.
Maybe. But I know not last year, but the year before, he was not very good.
Let me see.
Especially by his standards, he wasn't very good.
Well, he's in his second half of his 30s, so.
Yeah, and he's on pace to not have as great a season this year either. So, I don't think they're going to turn it around. Now, do I think they're going to continue to be 5-6 games under 500 and finish the season that bad? Probably not. But I don't know, man. I kind of think this team is going to hover more in the 500 window. 2-3 wins over.
I mean, isn't that kind of how where they've been the last couple of years? It's just, you know.
I mean, they shouldn't be, though.
No, with the amount of money. But that's the thing. Like, there's so much money, but it's only on a couple of players.
Exactly. And by the way, this is the great difference between.
You gotta stop.
I know. Well, this is the great difference between the Padres and the Rangers. The Rangers did throw them a lot of money at a couple of guys, but they've supplemented it with some money to get some middle or at least good MLB players, and then also throw in the fact that they have some young kids like Josh Young, who's batting in the middle of that lineup and having a fantastic season.
By the way, this is his third season with San Diego, so
okay.
Yeah, two previous seasons.
Yeah, one was not that great. Last year was good.
The ERAs were, it's 2021 it was 4.22 and 2022 was 3.10.
So one good season, one not so good season.
It's 16 wins last year.
Yeah, I know he had a good season last year. I know he did. But still, 30 something years old.
36.
Yeah, like when you start to struggle, There's a little more to it at 36.
Yeah. He's got to learn to do that shilling thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a joke, though. Right?
I don't even know.
It's Pride Month, John. Keep it to yourself.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think this team's going to turn it around? Do you think this is going to be a three-horse race?
What's like, turning it around?
This is
being above 500?
No. Because I
but
said
making the
blend. No. Because I said they probably finish 2-3 games over 500.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about they get back in the thick of things, and this is a Dodger Diamondback Padre race.
I don't know if they'll ever be back in the division race.
Okay.
But with this stupid like 9 wild card teams and how bad I think just the NL is.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they'll be in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Okay.
But like a wild card one.
Yeah.
Because yeah, the Central's bad. I mean, even the NL East is bad.
No, I know.
The Phillies,
the Braves are amazing, and then everyone else is not that good.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies have massively underachieved. I think that even the New York is underachieved.
I mean,
Marlins are doing all right.
Yeah,
for the Marlins.
The Phillies one's another one that I don't know if. I mean, I already said this when we did Built to Last. They're going to pass 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't think they're going to right the ship, and I really don't think they're going to right the ship now.
I don't know. Like with players like Justin Turner and Kyle Schwarber being as bad as they are.
Trey Turner.
It's too much Justin Turner talk. Trey Turner being as bad as they were to start. And I don't think like Schwarber's going to turn his average around. Like maybe he'll be a 200 hitter.
Yeah.
But like the power numbers have not been there either. Mm-hmm. Like Schwarber's better than this. Trey Turner's better than this.
Mm. Nola's better than this.
He had a great start yesterday.
Shut up.
But like, I mean, Zach Wheeler didn't have a good start either, I think.
No.
So the Phillies are going to be better than this in theory. But then maybe this is just, especially, you know, being the first year of the pitch clock and all these new rules. Mm-hmm. I guess we should have been a little more on the lookout for these surprisingly good and bad teams, some oddities and how personal player stats not meeting, either going over their average or not meeting their average for stats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a lot of that going around this year. Mm-hmm. We've had even Juan Soto came out and said, like, I don't know, like, I'm uncomfortable in the box, basically.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, there's a learning curve for everyone here.
Mm-hmm. And some more than others. I was so heavy on the fade the Mets. Braves are winning this division. It's the bet. It's the bet. Like, it's telling you. I don't remember if you were on my side or if you pushed back. Were we in step?
I certainly wasn't as high on it as you.
Okay.
As in, like, I thought they would probably be there competing. I kind of thought this would be a three-team race.
Okay.
It's not at all.
No. It's Atlanta and everybody else. Right now, it's Atlanta and the Marlins.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for the Marlins for 2 years.
They still have a negative 34 run difference.
No, I know they do. They don't. They win one run games.
And Sandy sucks.
I know. He is not right now.
Pitch clock.
That's not it. I've watched almost every one of Sandy Alcantara's starts. That's not it.
You don't think?
He's always worked fast. He's one of the fastest workers in baseball. It's all, I think people got used to his pitch sequence after last year. And also, I think it's just mechanical. I think he's getting on the side of the baseball too much instead of on top of it. And that's flattening everything out. Particularly his slider is terrible this year.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
But
interesting.
With that, how much are you buying Arizona? Are you a little more into it now that they've continued to play well? They ended up losing 2 of 3 to Atlanta, but they kind of blew the last game when they could have made it 2-3. They played them well.
They lost 2 of 3 to the Red Sox. That's damning.
That's not great.
you said they've been on the up and up for a little while. They've been better. Like they've literally gotten better every single year to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, I guess maybe I'm a little surprised it's now because I'm just one of those teams where I'm just kind of like, well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in June. You know, things can still happen. You know, maybe the injury bucket hit them and it all falls off. But like they seem to be a squad.
Yeah. And when you have, I think they have two guys, legit guys at the top of this rotation in Zach Gallen and Kelly. Now it's makeshift after that. They got to figure it out. Zach Davies coming back is at least healthy. But at the end of the day, with the way baseball is right now and the pitch clock and people adjusting to that, if you can score runs, you can figure out the pitching later because most teams are having a hard time with that anyway, I feel like.
Yeah.
So if you can score runs with the best of them, and that's what Arizona does, I think you can be in there till the end. As long as, again, you got to stay healthy. But With the Dodgers dealing with the injury bug like they are, I think Arizona, LA, Arizona's a real threat. They're going back and forth this year.
I don't know if I'll call them maybe a I don't think I'd say a threat to the Dodgers yet.
Okay.
I want to see how this, like, you know, we passed the All-Star break, passed the trade deadline. I want to see, like, the nitty-gritty. How do they stack up against this LA team when it comes down to, like, all right, now we're looking at who's going to win the division here. And if it stays this close, like, how will they stack up in the head-to-head matchup?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't win the division, which I don't really expect them to do, if in, say, August, September, they just give Dodgers a hard time, mm-hmm. well, I'd be like, all right, this team's ready.
Yes, exactly. I mean, again, I'm not saying they're winning the division. I just think that them and the Dodgers are going to be neck and neck down the stretch here.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, I will get to that later. We'll get to that later. All right. So with that, we're going to take our first quick break. When we come back, we're going to touch on the NHL and NBA finals. So stick with us, guys. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll. Moving on to basketball, the NBA finals. It's official, guys. We have a series, I think. Listen, there was a lot of doubt sometimes because Miami was an eighth seed. Denver ran through the West. Denver has looked like the best team. But, listen, game one, come on. Like, Miami was coming off a seven-game, highly emotional series against the Celtics. They had no chance in game one. That was always going to be Denver. They needed to rebound, and they did. I think now tied at 1-1 going into game three, the series has officially started. And it's very interesting now. And I was originally said Denver in five, and I'm completely wrong already. I know that. They're not. Denver's not sweeping the rest of this.
It's still possible.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell you why. So we view Denver as the better team. We view Denver as the more gifted team, particularly offensively gifted, and that is true. But Miami shoots the three probably better than Denver, and that is the great equalizer. And then you get into the NBA Finals. I trust Miami late in games more than I trust Denver. So if the Heat can play well enough, shoot the three to stay alive, stay afloat in these games, and just make them close at the end, I think the Heat have a really good chance of winning this series. Like, I got to go see what the Vegas line is. I wonder if Denver's still heavily favored. If they're still heavily favored, I don't think it's the worst bet in the world to put some money on the Heat. We have seen experience win out in the NBA at this level. Like, Jokic and Denver, they've never been here before. Butler, the Heat culture, this organization, Spoelstra, they've been here and done that. They shoot the three well enough to stay in these games. They make them close games late. I trust the Heat far more than I trust Denver. So this is going to be very interesting. Denver may rebound and win game three. I think I expect Miami to rebound once again. This thing's going to go back and forth, in my opinion.
Hmm. I don't remember exactly, like, did I give games?
Yeah, you and Brian both said Denver in six.
Ah, the safe bet, yes.
Yes, the safe bet.
And, like, I kind of feel like after these first two games, that's still the safe bet.
Okay.
And, like, I mean, the problem with, though, is, you know, with the Denver thing, you looked pretty good in game one. You didn't lose by much in game two. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like, Jimmy Butler hasn't looked great in either of these games, and it's a tied series.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler gets back on his bullshit. Like, Denver could be in trouble.
Yes. Like, and by the way, Tyler Hero is still waiting in the wings. At some point, they're going to insert him.
Are they? I thought he was not going to come back this postseason.
No. There's a good chance he can come back for the finals.
Ah. Well, either way, if he does or not. I mean, there could be some rust in his game. It could be detrimental. Could
That's
be.
True, but if when you bring him in for just short spurts and just ask, listen, all we need you to do is shoot the three. That's what you're good at. Just have him work on that in warm-ups for the most part. Insert him in big spots when you need that offense. I think that's a big. I think that could be a big plus.
Maybe, but if Jimmy Butler finds his game again, this could be bad for Denver because he was a minus 17 in game one, and despite the win, was only a plus three in game two.
Mm.
So. And I don't think you're going to keep Jimmy down like that for long. And, you know, if he comes back, and because now you're in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Miami crowd's going to be ravenous. And Jimmy he plays off that stuff, mm-hmm. and he can really end a game. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen like that killer instinct mm-hmm. out of Denver yet.
No,
like that they had a pretty big lead and controlled most of the game in game one.
Yeah,
the end scored wouldn't tell you that though.
No, and then by the way, the same thing happened in game two. They went on a ridiculous run, I think, in the second or third quarter, and they were up like double digits for a good amount of time. Like they controlled large swaths of that game. But Miami played good out the gate, and Miami played great late and stole it. And I kind of worry that that's going to be the formula moving forward.
Could be.
And like I said, Miami, if you weather the storm in the middle of these games, oh, things are going off the rails. All of a sudden, Caleb Martin hits a big three, keep us afloat. Hero, if he comes back, hits a three, keeps us afloat. Butler hits a three, keeps us afloat. Just stay afloat in those middle parts and get to that late spot. Denver's never been there before, and you have so many times. And all postseason, that's where the Heat have lived and thrived.
I mean, even looking like they since when they swept the Lakers, mm-hmm. oh, their biggest victory was Game 3, 11 points. Mm-hmm. Even though they swept him, they don't have that put you away, bury you mm-hmm. mentality.
Well, that's because they don't shoot the three that well.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Old school basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the age we live in.
No, it's not.
That sucks.
And I'm not saying that that's necessarily always a bad thing, but it's also they're not going to go on those Golden State runs where Golden State just got hot and just buried teams in like third quarters. I mean, we saw that so many times in the Celtics one. The Golden State would just get hot and the Celtics were buried.
Yeah.
And Denver doesn't have that despite how offensively gifted they are.
Well, I mean, they seem to be that we're gonna wear you out and we're gonna control the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna score our points when we got the ball, but we're gonna take the entire shot clock to do it, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like that's a winning that can be a winning formula. Mm-hmm. But like yeah, if the other team's just hitting the three, mm-hmm. and if the Heat play like they did in that game 7 against the Celtics, where they just can't miss, like, for the life of them. Not only are you not going to run away, you might find yourself like, well, we're not missing our shots, but you're hitting only twos, and they're not missing theirs, and they're hitting only threes.
Yes.
Why are we losing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm still probably going to pick the Denver Nuggets.
I mean, I didn't say I'm picking somebody different yet, but...
But, like... Yeah, Denver and six.
Denver and six? Okay. I don't know if I have a prediction.
Jimmy Butler does have to come out of his shell soon, though. He scored, I think it was 34 points in these two games.
Yeah.
He can do that in a quarter.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. I see bad vibes. I see bad vibes now for the Nuggets.
I see bad vibes.
I see bad vibes.
Well, I mean, if you win.
Denver, you need a vibe check in game three.
I mean, if you win just one of the games in at Florida,
mm-hmm.
like you know, that's fine. You're still fine.
Yeah.
I think if you split in Miami, I still think you're in the driver's seat.
Probably yes,
because you still have home court.
Yeah, you do. But it's gonna be. I think things are getting real interesting now. I think it's gonna be very fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's more interesting than when I picked six, I thought it'd be interesting, but
yeah.
You know, one seed versus an eight seed. That can go bad. That can go real bad.
That can go real bad.
Like in the NHL.
With that, let's move on to the NHL finals, Jesse.
Hey. Thanks. I'll hit the camera for it.
Yeah.
Don't panic. It's been two games. Relax. I don't care how that last game went last night. That was bad. If you're a Florida Panthers supporter. But, like, there's a saying in hockey. You're never in trouble till you lose at home. Mm-hmm. And now they're going back to Florida. You lost both games in Vegas. It is what it is. The biggest problem is you got to hope, if you're the Florida Panthers, that Radko Gudas is okay. Mm-hmm. Because the formula was, if you're Florida, now the last two series, they may have gotten away with it because they didn't need it. But it's just that you know, they're better than us. They're more skilled than us. Just going to kick their ass until they're not better than us anymore. And you saw that last night. They're laying the body. Jack Eichel got lit up by Tkachuk.
I actually saw that.
That was brutal. Now he fell into it too, which made it more brutal. But he, you know, big hits, trying to rough him up after the play, just trying to cause fights, cause trouble. That's just the formula. The problem is there looked like there was some rust after that 10-day layoff, particularly, most importantly, in Sergei Bobrovsky. He's kind of reverted back to that inconsistent Florida Panthers goalie that we know he can be. So that's concerning. And again, the Radko Gudas thing is concerning in his injury. But in theory, you're not in trouble yet because you're still sticking to the plan of beat them down, and you are beating them down more than they are beating you down. And you're not in trouble yet because you haven't lost at home. They are playing much better defense than I thought. Florida has not been able to forecheck their way into the scoring chances. They cannot get anywhere in the slot in the middle of the ice. Vegas has taken that away from them completely. So there's things to be concerned about, but it's not over. I'm still picking Florida. If it goes wrong in game three, now obviously like 3-0, I mean, you don't expect to come back from that. But you just need to win one in these next two games at home. Because if you're down 3-1 going back to Vegas, and as long as it's probably you win game three and it's not game four, I still like your chances. Because you're in the same situation we were with Boston. Oh, they're more skilled than us. They're faster than us. But I don't care. We're just going to beat their ass. And that's been the formula to this point. And I guess you're not getting goals to this point. They're getting their chances, but it'll come. Bruins still looked really fast, still looked really strong, all the way up until game four. And then they stopped hitting anyone. They just started throwing pucks to spaces because they were scared. They didn't want to take the punishment. See if Vegas can still get there. And I think Florida can get them there.
Okay.
It's not good.
I think it's Vegas. I think they're going to do enough blow in the intermission period that they'll be okay.
They might. I mean, it's not look good at this point. 7-2 last night. I can't even find the other game. 5-2 the other night.
By the way, no hockey players do blow. I know they get drug tested. It was a joke.
No, they do a lot of blow.
Not during the games.
No, not literally in between games. And that's
not during the season.
No, they probably do.
Oh, maybe. You know. Listen, anyway, the point is,
they probably get the one drug test.
All game. I know is I am going to be just insufferable on this show if I picked it right over you and Brian.
Brian picked Vegas.
Oh, he did pick Vegas. That is true. But I picked Vegas in five. Because I said, because you told me how long Florida had off, and I was like, oh, I've seen this show before. I know how this ends.
Yeah.
The young, upstart, hot team has to wait a week to go, 2 weeks, really, when you said it, to go play against, you know, the actual juggernaut number one or higher seeded team, whatever.
They're the number one in the West.
That's what I thought. I just see it. It's Colorado against Boston in the World Series. The Rockies had to be off for like a week and a half and just cooled off.
No, and that could really be a problem here. I think it's a problem with Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie. I really think that is a problem with him. The rest of the team, I'm not so sure. It just could be like, I mean, here's the thing. On paper, they are way outmatched. Mm. Vegas is way more skilled, way faster. It's just that can you just... One, just don't let the pressure get to you, because they've said all the way to this point, there's no pressure on us. We don't really care. We're just having fun. If you can keep that mindset and keep the body, just keep hitting, which Radko Gudas, if he's injured, was a big part of that. That could be a real problem. Mm-hmm. Not to mention their defense is not great, Florida's. So you lose a guy like him. You have a short list that just got shorter. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be really bad. But if he's healthy and you can just keep it up, in theory, it'll just go the same way the Bruins won't win. Mm-hmm. Vegas will just run out of steam because just get their ass whooped.
Yeah.
And no, they're not a big team. They're just fast. So, like, they're susceptible. And I came on here last week and said, like, they're so susceptible, it's going to work. They're just going to get beaten down. Vegas will come out and be the better team, but get beaten down. I didn't expect 7-2. I didn't see that one coming. But in theory, Florida has them right where they want them.
You're going down with the ship.
I mean, I'll go down with the ship.
I mean, it's okay. I'm going to go down with the St. Louis Cardinals ship. It's okay. You can go down on your ship. I'll go down on my ship.
But, like, you know, I don't think Florida is that. I don't think they're in trouble yet. They're not in real trouble yet.
Okay.
0-2 is not good, but it's not. Again, you haven't lost at home. Jesse, you're tougher than them.
Jesse, you've watched Pirates of the Caribbean. You know that opening scene when Johnny Depp's ship is sinking, but the dock is right there. It's right there. He can step off.
Yeah,
I'm giving you it right now. The dock is here before game three. The dock is right there. Just stick that left leg out. Do you want to get on it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm going to drown with my water.
All right. All right. All right. From one Vegas team to another. Jimmy G failed his physical.
Vegas.
Oh, man. Whoever could have saw that coming.
I bet Tom Brady sabotaged him.
How?
He bought stake in the Raiders and was like, give me his medical report, and fudged it. Do you know what the specific problem was? It's his foot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of important.
Yes.
You kind of need feet for things.
Yes, it is. I thought you were going to address my conspiracy there, but.
No. I mean, Tommy's petty like that. Tommy holds grudges just like Coach Bill, just like Billy. So, I mean, at one point they drafted Jimmy G and thought he was going to be Tommy's replacement. So, I don't know.
I wonder if Tom wants to bail now.
I wonder if Tommy's out to get him. I mean, if he cares about being a successful executive, I'd want to bail now, too, because what's the backup plan here? There's not one. And we already said from the start, it was weird that you bailed on Derek Carr and then went and got Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Go get a star. Go get Rodgers. Or draft someone. Why Jimmy G? I mean, I get because McDaniels had worked with him before, but
I think they put all their eggs in the Tom Brady basket. And they're like, oh, he retired. What do we do?
Hey, go get Aaron.
He's like, oh, I know. Let's get his replacement. Jimmy G.
I think this is going to be really ugly.
Yes.
I want to know, I'm kind of, after the show, I'm going to look up what the over-under is on the Vegas win total, and I might take the under. Unless Vegas has already adjusted, and it's all the way down to, six. But if it's at seven and a half, I think I might take the under.
I thought it was going to be, three.
This franchise is kind of a mess. However.
That's why Tom Brady's
here. I mean, not that this is a good thing. It's probably a bad thing. It's probably even worse for the Raiders. But, I mean, Does Josh have another built-in excuse?
No.
Are you sure? Are you sure McDaniels does not have another built-in excuse?
No.
Jimmy going to fail his physical, and either the Raiders are still going to keep him and run him out there at quarterback, and he gets hurt in week five, and then Josh can go, listen, Mark, what was I supposed to do?
This is Josh McDaniels doing. He knew he was going to fail his physical. He's like, there's no way I can succeed with any of these quarterbacks. And he's like, and he talked to him, let's get Jimmy G. Knowing Jimmy G was going to fail the physical, he was like, oh, we don't have a quarterback. What are you going to do?
That's not my fault.
You're going to fire me?
You're going to fire me?
Come on. Josh Jacobs ran for however many yards.
Yeah.
You're going to fire me? We don't have Darren Waller anymore. Who is their wide receiver other than Devontae Adams? Do they even have Hunter Renfro anymore? Is he still there?
I think so, yeah. I think Renfro's still there.
Oh, whatever.
I know. I just don't. Wait, isn't Devontae still there?
No, yeah. He doesn't want to be.
I know he doesn't want to be, but he's still there for now.
He's more of a Vegas Golden Knight than a Vegas Raider.
I just don't. I don't see any path that this is a successful season for the Raiders.
They should have stayed in Oakland.
Maybe. I don't know what they should have done. Listen, it's unfair. It sucks. Their division is tough. But I didn't understand the running Derek Carr out and now you're going to Jimmy. I thought they should have just drafted someone. Just draft a kid.
I mean, maybe, but wouldn't they have to have traded up for anyone worthwhile?
No.
Because Richardson and Levis, they're not ready this year.
No, but just have a season where you suck and just know you're going to suck. That's okay. I think it's better than this.
Yeah.
And I'm actually a Jimmy G fan. I thought there was a number of teams that okay, you'll improve your quarterback room to go get Jimmy G. But not in the AFC West where you have to face Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, say what you want about Russell Wilson, half the league wanted them last year. Maybe Hackett's just not a head coach. You throw in Sean Payton and that talented defense. I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me Denver wins 9-10 games next year, I wouldn't be shocked. Russell can't be that bad in just one year. Right? Come on. We've never seen that before.
I'm trying to remember how, that last Peyton Manning season started. It was bad.
Yeah. Didn't they win a Super Bowl?
That's not the point. He just happened. He literally just happened to be on that team. But like, he got benched for Brock Osweiler.
Like, if you were Carolina, if you were the Saints.
Oh, Carolina had their plan.
If you were the
wasn't Jimmy G.
No, I know that. But if you were the Washington Commanders, if you were the Jets, like, I understood. Like, okay, Jimmy G's an improvement. I'd go get Jimmy G. The Raiders situation. I was like, why?
Josh McDaniels.
Like, oh, yeah. We got someone to help us to go from 4 wins to 6.
Maybe they don't like him being Josh McDaniels. And he's just like, I need a buddy.
I don't know.
Someone that knows me.
I mean, I definitely don't think they like him, but.
Yeah.
He's never ingratiated himself with any NFL locker room that he's been in charge of.
Listen, at least Brandon Marshall said, like, he's just not a bro.
Yeah.
He's a coach, and that's fine. But, like, it literally seems like the Raiders don't like him.
Mm.
The Broncos didn't give that vibe. It's like, he's just not a leader of men. He's just a coach. He thinks in plays. He thinks in numbers and stuff like that. He doesn't think personally, emotionally.
Yeah, and culture and all that.
Yeah. He can't connect to you personally. He's just a robot, man. And, like, those are just coordinators.
Yes, exactly. I think Josh is just a coordinator. I think he's just an elite coordinator.
That's fine.
But what do you think? Do you think he's given another year now with this?
Maybe.
Just because, I mean, now we got the built-in excuse?
Well, he's like, who, like... You gonna go Stidham again?
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Listen, Stidham looked great for that first half of that one game,
and then he was bad again after that.
But man, that first half,
man, that first half, that one first half.
Yeah,
when the league hadn't seen him in so long.
I mean, if it's Stidham, yeah, he's got 3 years. He's getting the third year. You can't fire someone after that. Hey, we gave you nothing. Mm. You're fired. Who would then come to work for you? Who would take that Raiders job at that point?
I'm sure someone would.
Well, there's always someone because
yeah, I know. I get what you mean. I get what you mean though. Like, are you gonna get a high level like prospect?
Unless it's Brian Daboll, you're not gonna win any games.
By the way, that's another one. Go bet the under on the Vegas total. The Giants aren't doing that again.
What's their pick?
I think it was 8.5 when I looked.
They could win 8.
I think
Cowboys are gonna get worse.
No, they can win 8.
Oh, they can win 8.
Yeah, that's the under.
Oh.
So that's why I said go bet the under. I think their Vegas line is 8.5.
Wait, I'm confused. You think they won't win 8 games?
No, they could win 8 games. But Vegas has that 8.5, which means they think they're even odds to win 9 or 8 games, basically.
Okay.
Which I am saying they're not winning 9 games. They're not going to have a winning record. I can't see it.
Really?
No.
Cowboys are going to get worse. Commanders are still going to be balls. Eagles are not going to be that good.
They have to play the AFC. What? Wait, whoa. You don't think the Eagles are going to be good?
I didn't say that.
I think the Eagles are going to be great.
They will take a step back. They're not making the Super Bowl again. They're not going to go on that like 12-0 run or whatever.
Go look at their schedule. It's not that hard.
So? It wasn't hard last year.
I know.
They made it to the Super Bowl because San Fran didn't have a... Because they're the Raiders now. They were the Raiders.
No, San Fran still doesn't have a quarterback. Listen, I'm not saying the Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl, but
they'll trot someone out.
But I think the Eagles are going to win 13 games.
Maybe like 11.
Okay.
12.
All right. Whatever. Listen, we'll have our own show when we go over this. It's
13.
Fine. No, it's fine. We'll go over this. But anyway, yeah, I don't. But yeah, you think he probably gets another year?
Unless they miraculously discover someone that I'm not thinking of, yeah, like, why? You can't fire that guy.
Okay.
Hey, we made it impossible to do your job successfully. You're fired.
But also, couldn't Mark Davis sit there and be like, well, you're the one who ran Derek Carr out of the building?
Yeah, did he, though?
I know. Listen, I think Mark was in lockstep. I was the first one to say this. I was the first one even listening to national shows. I didn't think anyone said it as early as I did. When I would sat there and be like, you know, conspiracy, triangle, tinfoil hat. Like, I see what's happening. Derek Carr is going to be the fall guy.
And also, like, I know, like, you know, Josh McDaniels kind of tries to be that, like, little bit of a hard ass.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I consider him being a hard ass just being, like, stern. I can't picture him yelling. And it's like, did Josh McDaniels with that personality run out of the building? No.
Okay.
I think, well, I mean, I said this. Derek Carr's just a bitch. Because I read that whole article about like how all the other players were like, yeah, he's a hard ass, but he's consistent. Like, why is he taking, why is Derek Carr taking this so personally?
Mm.
And like, so he might have ran himself out of that building.
Maybe. Maybe.
And then probably Mark Davis is there like, yeah, you're kind of a puss. You're a puss boy.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
This ain't, you're not Vegas. You're not Vegas material.
It depends how long Jimmy G stays healthy for.
Which he's not right now.
If Jimmy G plays 12 to 13 games and they still have a losing record in those 12 to 13, McDaniels doesn't survive. Now, if he plays only six.
Does someone have a timetable for his foot?
No.
I'm going to Google it.
I don't even think there's a ton. I think right now there's just not a ton of information. I think clearly he just wasn't up to the physical standards that it should have been and that Vegas wanted it to be. I don't think it meant that it was so bad that he's not going to be ready for opening day. I mean, it's just like Carlos Correa failed his physical.
Oh, he had a surgery.
Yes, he did.
I didn't read the surgery part.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's just like Carlos Correa failed his physical, but he's played all year for the Twins.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
I mean, he's not playing well. He's so bad I dropped him on my team, but
I didn't even notice. Oh, I turned off notifications on that app. I'm at peace. Okay.
Are you looking at that still? Because yeah, I was gonna go to break, but if you can find something you want to say real quick.
No, I'm just kind of surprised. I didn't know he had another surgery after the signing.
Hmm.
Okay. Nah, I mean, there's nothing here. There's nothing like.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. They're just saying like, oh, we don't play for 100 days. We're not rushing him. Okay. That's just Josh McDaniels saying that.
Okay. All right. Anyway, with that, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, I'm going to hand out some bets for at this point in the baseball season. As I said, probably some of the last times to get some good lines before it becomes not as worth it. So anyway, stick around and we'll finish up with the Tommy and Darwin as always. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll, getting ready to finish things up. Turning now to the betting markets. Always like to do this a couple of times, you know. So do it before seasons usually, but sometimes you get those juicy lines still going on in the middle of a season, particularly in baseball. Not as much in football, but yeah.
It's a very Vegas-heavy show.
It kind of is, right?
Got the Vegas Golden Knights.
The Raiders,
Jimmy G.
Gambling. I mean, you had a funny thing there on the Raiders there for a sec. You want to read it?
Okay. All right. So just in this article, looking down, it's like, so even if he's ready to go week one, it's fair to question will they be able to hold up all season. The Raiders view Brian Hoyer as a viable backup and believe in Aiden O'Connell's long-term upside. He was a fourth-round pick this year.
Wow.
Those are not
viable options at all. So
I just learned who Aiden O'Connell was seconds ago.
I mean, yeah. Don't pee on my foot and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to baseball. So first one, we will head to the AL East. It's one of the bets that we handed out at the start of the year when they were plus 1,200, the same as the Red Sox, and we didn't understand why. We're going to go back to it right now. The Baltimore Orioles. When I looked this morning, I was getting it at plus 750 to win the division. I think if I'm going to get 700 on the second place team, that has also been one of the most consistent teams all season. There have not been a ton of peaks and valleys with the Orioles. They have stayed pretty consistent, playing above average good baseball. They score plenty of runs, 292. Now, the run differential isn't amazing, but again, plus 750. I have a Rays team that was really hot out the gate. Had a lot of home runs. Now, they were playing worse lately and not scoring as many runs. And then they got their just favorite toy in the Boston Red Sox to right that ship a bit. But I think the Rays are on the downswing a little bit now. I'm not saying Baltimore is going to win this division, but this is about ROI. This is about I'm getting good enough lines that I can throw in 20, 30, 40 bucks and get potentially get great payouts. So 750 Baltimore Orioles. I'd take that. The next one. I've seen this show before. I saw it last year with the Yankees. You have a good team already on paper, and then everyone just has career years, and you go from a good team to an amazing team. It's just one of those seasons. Now here at June 1st, the Rangers are showing no signs of slowing down. I think we came into the year, most people came into the year thinking the Astros were more vulnerable than usual. We just thought, and a lot of people thought, that the Mariners were going to be the ones to capitalize on that. Simply, Seattle hasn't scored enough runs. So the Texas Rangers at plus 140, they have a plus 153 run differential. They're third best also in the American League in runs allowed. And we went over this last year when we were looking at the start of the year, when we were looking at rosters. We looked at, wow, their five-man rotation is all legit. Like all proven MLB starters. Dave Dunning, Nathan Eovaldi, John Gray, Martin Perez. Like, one through five, all just solid MLB starting pitchers. I've always liked John Gray a ton. I've always thought he was hurt by Colorado so much, and he was a far better pitcher than what he always showed. So at plus 140, you're going to give me a team that has the best run differential in all of baseball. They show no signs of slowing down. Seager and Semien had really down years last year, so it makes sense that they have bounce back years this year. Throw in this kid, Josh Jung, who a lot of people liked anyway, and clearly seems he's ready for major league pitching. Adolis Garcia. I think there's a lot of names here, a lot of things that seem completely legit. Everybody hitting their stride at the right time. You see these seasons every year. There's always one of those teams that have it. I think it's the Rangers this year. So plus odds for the team that's consistently been one of the best in baseball and showing no signs of slowing down, I'd take that. The next one, probably the worst of all four of these, but I'll still hand it out anyway because I'm going down with the ship, St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they had a terrible weekend. They got swept by the Pirates, but it's okay because they were playing really good before that. So obviously, there's going to be a bit of a correction. They're going to play bad. At the end of the day, it comes down to somebody has to win this terrible division. And if, again, Vegas, I got plus 250 on this. You're going to be plus over 200 on the team that was the betting favorite at the start to win the division and is still within striking distance, no matter how bad they've played. A Milwaukee team that leads the division, despite having a minus 21 run differential and scoring some of the fewest runs in the National League, plus 250, I'll still take it. St. Louis Cardinals. Now, if it's anything lower than this plus 250 to plus 230 range, I wouldn't touch it. But plus 250, I still don't think, throw a couple of bucks in there. I know you're going to clap back.
Pittsburgh took that division lead.
Yeah, I know. You yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're
right. You said the Brewers.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right. Pittsburgh took the division lead. They suck, though.
But that was, that. You know, they've won six straight. Well, here's the thing. I want to just.
Come on.
Quickly about the Central.
Okay.
It's just one of those divisions that no one seems to want to win.
No, I know.
You know, Pittsburgh came out and they were hot. And they had the division lead and they're like,
so why not that. Throw money in at plus 250 to the team that was the betting favorite to start the year?
Because they're in last.
It doesn't matter. Everyone sucks.
And they have the worst 10 games, worst streak in that division right now.
I know. Listen, it's the worst of all the bets, but. And.
Bet Cincinnati.
No. And the final one. Again, another team that we told you bet the over on the win total, bet them to take third place. Now, it doesn't seem like they're going to take third place. Now I'm going to say let's lay some money on the Arizona Diamondbacks to potentially win the NL West. Another situation like the Astros, we thought the Dodgers were a bit more vulnerable this year than they've been in past years. We just thought of the Padres who would capitalize the most on that. But Arizona, these kids have hit their stride right away, and they're all top prospects. It's not out of the blue. There's a reason they gave all this money to Corbin Carroll. He already looks like a five-tool stud. Merrill Kelly and Zach Allen at the top of this rotation have been solid pitchers already, particularly Zach Allen. Throw in the addition of Zach Davies, who's come back from the DL, gives them another legitimate MLB starter. They're going to have to mix and match on the back end with some kids. Tommy Henry has always had upside. He just has control problems. But Arizona scores 297 runs. That is tied for the second best in the National League, tied with the Atlanta Braves. In a time where most teams with the new rules are having a hard time pitching anyway, you can work through pitching issues as long as you can score runs with the best of them. That's what the Diamondbacks have done all season long. They've consistently played really well, too, against good competition to make you realize they're not just beating up on the bad teams. So the Vegas line is plus 700 as I saw it. If I can, again, give me a team second most runs scored in that league and currently tied with the division best team right now, and you're going to give me plus 700, I think that's another one. 20, 30 bucks into that, potential big payout, like plus 700, I'd take that. So those are the bets for the MLB season at this point. I can push back. Go for it.
Well, I mean, I push back on the St. Louis one. I don't think they're a good team. I know bad division, but like they are right now the worst in a bad division. Mm-hmm. The Orioles one. Them losing Cedric Mullins for the time being.
That does hurt.
That is a punch in the gut if you're the Orioles.
But you have a Toronto team that Alek Manoah has completely fallen off the goddamn map.
It's sabotaging at this point.
Yeah, like actually, I videotaped this one too because you got up a good point. Cedric Mullins going down for the Orioles hurts. But I look at the division right now. The Yankees consistently, they're decent, but I don't see the next gear. Their big thing that they got was Carlos Rodon. Does anyone know when Rodon's going to be back yet? Because I don't think they do. And damn, do they need him. I think Gerrit Cole got a little banged up too. I don't know if he's actually on the IL, but...
Oh, I thought you meant like his last couple starts have not been.
No. But I think I saw he was day-to-day at one point for something.
Oh, maybe he got like a blister.
Yeah, something like that. But offensively, I just don't think they have the same punch. I know Judge is still being great, but still, I just don't see it. Toronto, Alek Manoah, the ace of the staff last year, who they desperately need for the Jays, has, I mean, like Rick Ankiel levels of just forgotten how to pitch. And then, I mean, Boston is Boston. So, again, plus 750 for the second best team. I don't think that's a terrible, terrible play.
Also, Glasnow has just come back for Tampa.
That's true.
Another knock for that one.
It is, but like, can he stay healthy?
Yeah, sure.
Can he stay healthy?
That is a question. Mm-hmm. Especially living in the age of like, no pitcher can make 30 starts in a year anymore. Yeah. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. The Diamondbacks won. Mm-hmm. So the Dodgers are starting to get like some injury issues, mm-hmm. and they're still plus. What's that run differential? They're plus 55. It's like a 40 run differential difference.
I know it is. I looked at that.
Tough.
It is, but like it started largely because they started so hot and Max Muncy played out of his mind and Outman was playing out of his mind and all that. Like I look at that lineup right now and I see the averages for a lot of them. I just don't think it's an amazing lineup. So I just don't think that'll continue.
Cole is day to day.
Okay.
I don't know with what though.
Okay. I mean, again, this is the ROI kind of stuff, all of this. Many of these, if not even all of these, may not work out. But well, the fact of the matter one, is...
Like,
what?
If you hit one, like...
That's my point. These are all... You get such high payouts for teams that are actually in position to be able to do it at what I would put it as lesser odds than what Vegas is right now. So this is all an ROI thing.
You should bet on the Pirates to win the Central.
I don't think so.
Ke'Bryan Hayes is finally contributing.
I mean, if you want to, go for it.
I mean, that's got to be, I guess, like, because of the start, maybe the payout won't be as good, but, like, I don't know. I don't have any of those numbers in front of me.
No, they have you would have a higher payout than the Cardinals.
Really?
Yeah. When I looked this morning, I think Vegas had them listed at about +295.
So they still think the Cardinals have a better chance.
Yes, than the Pirates.
Than the first place Pirates.
Yes, they do. That should tell you something.
Well, I mean, we both picked the Cardinals in our preseason whatever to win that division. And I am still sitting here surprised at how bad they are.
Yeah.
Like, there's good players there.
I know.
Like, Goldschmidt just won the MVP. Like, there wasn't a huge amount of turnover other than they lost the skeletons and the old people.
I mean, you could make the argument, though, that the pitching misses Yadier Molina's leadership.
Sure, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could even, like, argue that the team misses those guys in the locker room. Mm-hmm. That stuff matters. Now, I think it matters so much, the locker room part, yeah. That they're a last-place team now? No. But that could have pushed him at least maybe past the Cubs.
Yeah.
And then the Yachty catcher thing, you know, they're pushing past the Reds.
Yeah.
You're still underachieving, though.
No, I know. But, all right, with that, wait, do you want to push back on the Rangers?
Yeah, I don't believe in them, but I got nothing.
I know you don't believe
well,
in them.
Well, I mean,
but, like, at what point are you just so good that we have to just realize that we undervalued you?
October.
Come on. That's not how betting works.
Well, I do think the Mariners have very much underachieved to this point. But maybe that's just how they are. They don't play well in April and May. Maybe they just don't. Mm-hmm. Similar like last year. I do think the Astros are probably a little better than this.
Okay.
Especially because, like, was it Jose Abreu just hit his first home run of the year?
Yeah, but he's one that's so old, though, that, like, it could be like the cliff has come.
Maybe.
They're dealing with injuries now, too. Luis Garcia is out for the year, one of their starters.
And Yordan Alvarez had a bit of a slow start to the year, he has found his stride.
He has.
Altuve's
back now.
Don't
you think Bregman's struggles are kind of concerning? Because I don't think he had an insane year last year either.
Well, he's ever since they got caught for cheating, he has just come down more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last year and the year before that is kind of just the height of Bregman, what he is. And mm-hmm. I think this is just kind of typical Bregman.
Okay.
He played too well because they were cheating.
Okay.
Like,
it could be.
He's still a great third baseman.
Yes, he is.
But, like, He's such a yeah. I don't think he's just an average hitter.
I don't think he's an elite offensive player.
No.
Yeah. At least he hasn't been the last 2 years. Well, year and 3 months.
I feel like it's been more than that.
No, I think it's been about a full year and 3 months. Look it up.
Well, I just mean like because like
actually I'll look it up because you're talking right now, so I'll look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I mean I just you know he's a good player, but like he especially after like you lost Correa and Springer, he's one of those guys that you could just like. Hone in on. Mm-hmm. And Altuve missed the big part of the year to this point. And that puts a lot of pressure on a guy like Bregman. And I don't think he's all that great of an offensive player. Mm. You know, because he came up and like really made a splash in, was that 2017?
Mm-hmm.
When they won that World Series?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe he was a high-toted prospect, but I didn't hear much about him. He kind of felt like he came out of nowhere. And then like, the second they took away the sign stealing, it seemed to have... He didn't fall off. He's not bad. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like it took a hit.
Yeah. So, last year... Now, still decent production in places. 38 doubles, which is always great. 23 homers, 93 RBIs. He did walk more than he struck out, which is always impressive. But he hit 259, 366 on base. That's a solid offensive player. Good. But
yeah.
Is it a superstar?
No.
The year before that, 348 at-bats, so he had a shortened season with injury, I believe. 17 doubles, 12 homers, 55 RBIs, a 270 average, and a 355 on base. So, and this year so far, 254 batting average, a 355 on base, 36 RBIs, 8 homers, 7 doubles. The walking more than he strikes out thing is very impressive. It is.
Yeah, and I guess he actually did contribute more than I thought last year with the 93 RBIs.
Wait, what?
He contributed more than I thought last year with the 93 RBIs.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? And 38 doubles is really good.
So. Sure, yeah.
But still, I mean, it's not...
But he was like a 30 home run hitter.
Well, yeah, he hit 41 one year.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
that's...
Like, he's not doing that again. He's not even hitting 30, it seems.
Yeah, yeah, like... What changed?
He's solid. I would like him on my team.
I'd rather Devers.
But if, yeah, I mean, yeah, actually, I probably would rather Devers as well offensively. But, yeah, he's just not a superstar.
Yeah, I'd like his, I guess I'd like him at third base. But, like, if I have a better hitting third baseman, I'll whatever. I'll take some errors. Give me Arenado.
Mm.
Better fielder and... more consistent hitter, just not this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. So, yeah, I mean, you just don't believe in Rangers for some reason. Why?
Well,
look at the team. Well, why?
The team? I mean, they're
because I see the depth everywhere.
They're pitching too well.
They're probably pitching a little over their heads, but I still think they have a 5-man rotation of all legitimately solid major league starters. which is better than most teams.
Well, I mean, Eovaldi, Perez, Gray are three.
That's, Dunning.
Okay.
I forget the fifth.
It's supposed to be DeGrom.
Yeah, and he's not even back right now. He'll be back at some point.
But like also like that offense is kind of a little top heavy.
Is it? I mean, the kid Ezekiel Duran has played very well in the low spot of the order. Marcus Simeon is like high in the American League in RBIs, despite the fact that he's always hitting the leadoff.
Yeah, dude, he's fantastic this year.
I know. But that means that the bottom of the order must be playing well. The bottom of this order is Tavares, the center fielder. He's got to be young. He can't be that old. He's 24. Leody. Ezekiel Duran, who's been 307 and had decent numbers last year, too. Mitch Garver, who plays only sometimes. And then Jonah Heim, the catcher. Yeah, I just don't. I don't see it, man. I think that's a long lineup. Simeon Seager, Nathan Lowe, Adolis Garcia, Josh Jung, Jonah Heim, Mitch Garver, Ezekiel Duran, Leody Tavares. Solid to me.
Well, the Mariners and Astros are better than they're playing, and they get the Oakland Athletics in their division.
Yeah, they do.
I want to see them face the AL East.
Okay. But they don't have to win the AL East. They have to win the AL West.
Well, they have to beat at least one of them if they want to make the World Series.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about winning the division.
I still think it's the Astros.
Okay, it could be. It could be. But give me plus odds on the team that's been the best team in baseball.
What's the thing? Apparently people still don't believe in Texas. And I mean, I get it.
Listen, to be plus 140, that means Vegas is starting to believe.
Someone's got to be a minus.
The Astros still are.
Yeah. Had their best season ever last year.
I know they did.
They did take a step back. They lost Verlander. In theory, I said his name a couple minutes ago. Why can't I remember the first baseman?
Abreu.
Oh, yeah. Abreu is, in theory, better than Gurriel. But you're right. Maybe he's too old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Altuve is back now. He can contribute.
Yes.
Came out banging.
He did. All right. Let's ready to finish things up, though. Tommy report, let's go.
All right. Did you hear?
Yes.
About Bill?
What?
Like, after Tom won that Super Bowl in Tampa,
yeah.
Bill was one of the first people that texted him.
Really?
Apparently, according to Tom Brady.
Okay.
Now, maybe Tom's lying, but Bill can be like, yeah, I didn't text him.
I don't think Bill would do that, though.
I don't know how Bill would find out that Tom actually said that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think Bill would actually be like, no, I didn't say that. Unless somebody asked.
Yeah.
But it seems that all this hoopla about how much they dislike each other, Bill drove him out of the building, basically. It's a bunch of crap. Mm. And I've kind of said that on the show time and time again. I believe it a little bit. I'm sure Tom was fed up. He wanted a change in scenery. He wasn't having fun in New England anymore. He didn't have anyone to throw the ball to. He's like, bro, I'm 40 now. I need to make my money. I need people to throw the ball to because I'm 40, whatever. But to say, oh, that was Bill just being rude, being mean to him, which, by the way, makes Brady look like a loser.
Mm.
Oh, he's mean to me. But it wasn't about that. It never was about that.
Yeah, liars. A lot of people wanted to make it about that. I think above everything, it was just about Tom looked around and was like, this team's not that great anymore, especially on my side of the ball that I care about.
Yeah.
What am I throwing to?
And as a guy in obviously the tail end of his career, in a sport or especially a position where your success does hinder on other people doing their jobs more than maybe any other position in sports. I guess you could say goalie in hockey because of the defense.
Well, no, wide receiver in football, probably more.
Here's the thing. They can still get the – with Debo, they can still just get the ball in his hands.
Okay, but Debo's the exception to the rule. Most wide receivers do not
– You can, in theory, do that.
Run like a running back.
All right. But
– I get your point.
Still, you need people to help you as a quarterback.
Especially as you're older, too.
Especially when you're older and couldn't move when you were younger. So I could see it just being like, listen, if I want my career to be continuing at a high level, still winning Super Bowls, still competing for, I know he's not about accolades, but still competing for MVPs, it can't be on the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So, like, all these pundits, journalists in New England, I'm waiting for the apology about how you hate Bill now because he ran him out of town. There was nothing Bill could do to keep him in town, it seems. I guess other than spend all of Robert Kraft's money on wide receivers and nothing else. But that's not a winning formula either.
No.
And you shouldn't do that. You just don't do that.
No.
You need wide receivers. We've complained about that for years. But don't spend all your money there, especially not to just make your quarterback happy. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Bill did the right thing. As much as we're sad about it. You can be sad about it. But to sit there and say, Bill is the cause of this. He ran him out of town. I'm sick of hearing it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it on the way home.
I don't think you're wrong. Get your thing set up. I'm going to have you announce the Darwin. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I'm sure there are plenty of things. I mean, listen, if you're around a boss or a certain job for a long period of time, like, there's a chance, there's a time where certain people and things do get old and there's a time to move on. And that's probably where he felt with Bill as well. But at the end of the day, I think, again, the biggest thing was purely roster based.
Not to mention a wife that's like, hey, I want to get back into working my job.
Yeah.
And
not be in the cold weather of New England.
Cold New England's not how we do that.
No.
You go to Florida, you go to
LA.
New York, LA.
Not even New York. I don't even think she even wanted to be in New York. But I get it is a fashion place.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
But like he couldn't go to Boston, the Jets. He couldn't go to the Giants.
No. Oh my God, imagine Brady in a Jet uniform.
Ugh. Well, especially that new one.
I'm having a hard time even dealing with Aaron Rodgers in a Jet uniform.
That Jet uniform they started...
He honestly looks less talented than me.
He does. Well, like that Jet uniform they started pumping out a couple years ago, it's garbage. Like the old uniform wasn't anything special with just the dark green and white, but like this new green color, like they're trying to be sleek. It looks horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
One of the... Maybe the worst uniform in the league. And Brady almost... He could have worn that.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I don't think he ever was ever going to, but yes. I know what you mean.
If it truly was what the journalist wanted it to be, and he was run out of town, I could see him doing it.
Yeah. Just to be like...
Just to beat the Patriots two times a year, and to do it...
On the team that Bill hates the most. Yes.
Yes.
I get that point. All right. Let's finish this up. Darwin Award. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Drum roll, please.
This week's Darwin Award winner is Skip Bayless. Skip. He might have won one before. I'm not 100% sure. I know we've talked about him on the show.
No, we talked about his feud with Stephen A., but I don't think we gave him a Darwin.
Yeah, but we've talked about him and his drama that he seems to be a part of. This is not what we're here for. We're here for sports. But sometimes you have men like Skip Bayless who apparently is so... toxic, so annoying, so what have
egotistical
you, that Shannon Sharp, who's also all of those things,
yeah,
doesn't want to work with him. He says, I'm done. I think it's, he said, like, after the NBA finals, I am leaving Undisputed. I can't take it anymore.
He's leaving everything. He's leaving Fox Sports.
Wow. He ran him out of the building.
Yeah.
Probably going back to CBS, right? Was he with CBS? I think it was with CBS.
I know Stephen A. has already extended an invitation.
Oh, that's funny.
I know.
Especially because apparently things weren't so bad between Skip and Stephen A. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But like, and now no one wants that job.
Yeah.
No one wants to debate. No one wants to debate the man that literally has a video out of him contradicting himself. You know that self-debate thing about Aaron Rodgers, somebody edited together?
Yes.
He contradicts himself so much, and yet people still don't want to go on that show to debate him because he's that toxic. He's that intolerable. I could school this guy. I could leave him in the dust. I could run circles around him, knowledge-wise. Mm-hmm. But he's just so annoying. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not. I get that. I'm guessing that paycheck is mighty fine, and people still won't take it because he's just that annoying. Mm-hmm. Would you take it?
Yes.
If they offered it to you today?
Yeah, of course I would.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, of course I would. But I mean, it'll never be that bad. They'll find someone.
Yeah. But like,
oh yeah, of course. If Fox Sports won for some odd reason all of a sudden hit my inbox, I would be like, yeah, I'll move to LA in a heartbeat.
Oh, I mean,
and I will give Skip Bayless every bit of, if when he makes things personal, which is part of the problem, by the way. There were a couple of times that it seemed like very personal sometimes when they debated on Fox Sports, and Skip would get mad if he's losing. I would sit there and smile and enjoy every minute of that.
Because
I have lived my life in Massachusetts where no one agrees with me on anything. Uh-huh. And the minute people have to get emotionally invested into an argument to the point where they make it personal, I smile and laugh because I know I've won.
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know who said it.
In fact, Fox Sports won. I would be the best person in America you could find for that. Because I will be able to deal with all of that that Skip brings that other people can't, because I will sit there and smile. And I will never, ever, ever, ever make the situation get out of hand, because I would have known in my head that I've won.
Well, I don't know who said it, but it's like when a debate is lost, what is it? Mm-hmm. Mockery becomes the tool of the loser, or something
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember who said that. Mm-hmm. But like, you put little thumbnails when you put the videos on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you a thumbnail that you need to put for this.
That's
one
is
of my
hysterical.
That's one of my favorite pictures. Just for the people listening, it's a picture of the Undisputed. They got the split screen. One is Skip with an annoyed look on his face, and the other is Shannon Sharp wearing a Skip Bayless mask. It's pretty crude, but I love it.
Oh, it's so funny. All right. Congratulations to Skip Bayless, who's kind of ending his own career. You know, it's gotten to the point where, like, because of his age, is it getting into a realm where, like, maybe some of this is, like,
senile old man?
Yeah,
stuff?
like mental decline?
Maybe.
That's crossed my mind a couple of times.
He is a healthy person, though.
He is.
But, sometimes you just have bad genes. Sometimes maybe if you didn't take care of yourself and early in your life, it catches up with you.
Yeah.
But, it could be maybe not, old person mental decline, but old person stuck in their ways.
Yes. Stubbornness. And
yes.
Yeah.
Like, I've done this so long. Shannon Sharp is too young. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, there's that, too. I'm sure in some way there is an age factor in this.
He's also because old. Old people are racist.
Now, a lot of people have... You can't say that.
Listen, allegedly, old people are racist. I'm not saying Skip is. He's clearly worked with many minorities in these jobs. He's probably not. But you never know. Actually, all rich people are racist. Just a fact. They just stereotype. Allegedly.
Okay, you're good now. Allegedly.
You can't, a vague term. Who's going to sue? When you say all old people, what, are all the old people going to sue me? They don't know how to work
okay.
a podcast.
It's okay, Jesse. Keep going.
They don't know how to work a podcast.
Jesse, it's okay. Keep going.
I am.
You know why? Because I'm going to send this show to Fox Sports 1, and they'll clearly be like, well, we can't hire him, so they'll hire me.
Oh, I was going to say they'll hire me because they hire annoying people.
No, they can't hire you after that.
I could match Skip's energy.
In 45 seconds, you ruined any chance.
I could match Skip's energy.
They don't need that.
I can one-up him.
I don't think that's the problem.
I can make him seem tame.
I'm sure I could too, but I don't think that's what they want.
That'll right. bring in views.
That has been it for Slow Your Roll. Congratulations to Skip Bayless, this week's Darwin Award winner. Have a great rest of your week.